Backham Academy is now in session. Greetings, Veeam Community Podcast listeners. Before we start with today's podcast about Windows Server 8, be sure to check out a new community resource, Backup Academy. Veeam has sponsored Backup Academy to provide product-neutral training and certification on both backup and data protection technologies. This material is designed for individuals who may be new to both virtualization and data protection technologies and want to have a good foundation on both Microsoft and VMware virtualization technologies. IT experts David Davis, Greg Shields, Elias Knaser, Eric Siebert, and Rick Vanover have teamed up for this initial release of Backup Academy. Additional content will be added over time as technologies change and new sessions are created. Check out www.backupacademy.com and follow at BCKP Academy on Twitter.
Hello and welcome to the Veeam Community Podcast. I'm your host, Rick Vanover. This is episode 36, Windows 8, here it comes. Joining me today are two really cool and important guys that we had a chance to meet. I'll start with you, Brian. Brian Posey, how you doing?
Doing great, thanks.
So Brian, take a quick moment and give everybody the elevator pitch about yourself, if you could.
I've been in IT for about 20 years. I used to be a CIO for a chain of hospitals and nursing homes and healthcare facilities. I worked for Fort Knox at the Department of Defense. I'm an 8-time Microsoft MVP.
Somewhat qualified to have this conversation. Thanks for being on with us, Brian. And also returning with me live and in person, Julio
Urquidy.
I wanted to say it. I apologize.
That's okay.
How you doing, Julio?
I'm doing pretty good. Thank you.
Hey, give everybody a quick update on you, your quick bio.
All right. Basically, I've been working in IT for about 17 to 18 years or so. I recently jumped from working in a hospital environment, and I am now a technical editor for Tom's IT Pro, same company that that owns Tom's hardware.
Gotcha. And also, if you haven't already, guys, check out the episode that I had with Julio a few episodes ago. I think I called it Tom's an IT Pro. He's all grown up or something like that. So now it's a good story. How's the site going so far?
It's going good. We're filling it with content. We're actually going out of beta later this month.
Awesome, awesome. Well, let's jump on to what we're going to talk about here tonight, guys. Let's first of all set the stage. We are in Redmond, and we are just wrapping up some of the briefing sessions about Windows Server 8. This information is under embargo until a date specified by Microsoft, and this podcast will not be released until that time. So we are setting the tone for the future, so you guys can trust me with this MP3 until it's time. I'll just throw it out there. Guys, Windows Server 8, what do you think?
It's great. It's a great update. That's something that's actually been pretty solid for the past few years.
For sure. Brian?
It seems much more thought out than some of the previous Windows Server releases.
Cool. Now you guys have been through this process before, is that right? I've never been through kind of like a Microsoft on the inside, you know, the briefings and stuff. I've never been through that for a big product launch. Have you, Brian?
Not for Windows Server, but I've been through it for some of the Exchange Server releases.
Gotcha. How about you? First time through?
First time through.
And, you know, a big shout out to the Microsoft crew. They've been very hospitable to us. The events team, the facilities team. A lot of information, but we couldn't have had a better experience, so that's all good. So I'll throw it out to you, Brian, first. What was the one feature with Windows Server 8 that you were most interested in thus far?
It's got to be some of the new Hyper-V stuff.
Oh, you're playing right into my alley. I love it. Myself, yeah, Hyper-V did it for me. Hey, I'm a poet, and I don't even know it. But I don't have the time to make everything rhyme. Come on. But you know what, guys? I'll just say some of the Hyper-V things I'm seeing, good stuff. They have a lot of PowerShell options, very well-defined, as well as the interface for Hyper-V Manager. And we're seeing migrations without System Center VMM. You know, that was one gap. We didn't see any System Center because this is all about Windows. Hyper-V R3 is definitely bringing it. How about you, Julio? What single thing kind of stood out to you the most?
You know, when I started writing, I actually started writing more towards the SMB market. And one of the things that SMBs can't really afford is a SAN. And the whole idea of being able to migrate a VM from a Hyper-V server to a Hyper-V server without having to worry about having that common storage I thought that was pretty cool.
Yeah, and you know, storage costs, or at least technology through Windows, mm-hmm. in that are out there that will help you reduce your storage costs, was a pretty central theme of some of the things that they were talking about today. There's a deduplication engine, mm-hmm. okay, for and I correct me for not remembering right, but I believe it's based on an NTFS volume, so it's at the volume level. I don't know. It's late, guys. We'll have to look it up. But
yeah, it's been two very grueling days.
Yes,
yeah,
it has. Yes, non-stop. It has. But, you know, the deduplication, I'm kind of back and forth, hemming and hawing on it. I think I'd use it for unstructured data. I don't know if I'd use it for VMs. The storage admin in me would, you know, kind of lean more the primary storage deduplication. You know, if you want to go that route, there's, you know, there's a storage product for that. I don't know. What's your take on the dedupe engine, Brian?
I think they've got a good thing going, but to be completely frank, at least in this stage, I'm not sure I would completely trust it. Mm-hmm. I would probably, if I were going to use it, set up a replica server for some of my file stores and deduplicate replica data just to kind of have that on as
sure
a hot spare, so to speak. But I don't think I would want to do that to my primary data store just yet.
And you know that also, let's also kind of keep in mind that these are features untouched by us. We, you know, it's been PowerPoint and lead demos, which were very informative, but you know, early access to installable instances of Windows Server 8 have not yet been made available, at least to this crowd.
Yeah, we don't get the bits for a couple more days. We haven't tried it yet. And even at that, it's alpha code.
Right.
So
there's no guarantee that it's actually going to be or may not be the same that we saw today.
Right.
Exactly.
Yeah. You know?
And, you know, one thing that we did see a lot of, guys, is PowerShell, right? Oh. A super investment to PowerShell and remote desktop services. We'll go into that in a second. But it pretty much, if it can be done, it can be done in PowerShell. In fact, we had a number of critical, you know, important demos that were shown to us of some of these new features literally entirely in PowerShell. Myself, I go to PowerShell really point solution. You know, I need something, and I'm too lazy to click it this many times, so I'll script it. Some people, if they have to do it yet the second time, they script it. Brian, how are you with PowerShell? As needed? Love it? Hate it?
I have to admit, I prefer the GUI, but you know, having grown up in the 80s when it was all command line, yeah, I got no problem with PowerShell.
Yeah, rock on. I'm with you there. I don't have a problem with it. It's just, it's also tough because you see all these different extensions, even in other products, right, outside of Microsoft. You know, products are making their own PowerShell extensions. So it's a common, I guess, environment with, you know, commandlets. But I guess I get lazy. I do a lot of Active Directory stuff, especially when I was an admin. You know, user stuff, retrieving data stuff that way. But and I guess I did a lot of Exchange, like batch mailbox creation. That was, those two things were my biggest use case.
But you know, if you really stop and think about it, it totally makes sense what they're doing, because so much of what we've been seeing the last few days has revolved around virtualization. And for a company to reach the maximum return on investment for their hardware, you got to cram as many VMs onto a physical machine as you possibly can. And one way to do that is to just use server core, and you know, it's all PowerShell, at least in server 8, what we've seen so far.
Yeah, and let's talk about core. You said the four-letter word. They said that they, being Microsoft, or at least one or two of the people, that core is the recommended installation type. I'm just going to say, I've blogged about core, but I've never seen it in use in like a client production site.
Same here.
I write about it all the time. I've got a zillion lab servers running core, but I don't have any of my production boxes doing core.
I'll take a step back in my history. I had a large number of like configured web services, IIS, .NET, you know, whatever, custom code. And it was a lot easier to troubleshoot on full Windows versus, you know, conceptually having to do it on core. So I go back and forth on the use case, and literally I pull that one example and make a case for it. You know, they had said from the start of the core option that it was optimized for virtualization, but I'm really kind of stuck on the recommended that you install Core. I can't get my head around it.
But what's cool about it, though, is you can install Core and you can add on the other stuff to actually get the GUI.
Oh, yeah.
And then take it off. That was actually pretty cool. So once you install Core, you're not stuck with Core anymore. You can actually go ahead and add on to it and get the GUI. Or on vice versa, you can have the GUI and take it out and just have Core. That was actually pretty cool.
That is pretty cool. I'm exceptionally weary of that myself. I don't know.
But, you know, I think we're missing the big picture here. If Core is going to be the recommended platform going forward, what does that say about the other Microsoft products? Are we going to see, say, Exchange Mailbox servers that can finally function in a pure server Core environment? SQL That's servers true. That run on Core? Because today you can't do it, but right. down the road, who knows?
Yeah, they specifically weren't giving us answers to those questions because the topic was Windows Server. So, armchair roadmap architect, leave that to everyone's own discretion, but I'd have to think that your options would increase with Core over time if they're making the investment in the PowerShell environments and recommendations like that. I would say it's a fair assumption.
And there'll be an increase also in the dependency on remote tools, right? You're not going to have the GUI anymore on the SQL Server, so you'll be using the SQL Server client on your workstation or something like that.
But the one thing I think that we can definitely say after everything we've seen today, the certification exams are about to get a lot harder.
For sure. And all of us that love our little GUI cape, we might need to break out our scripting stick instead, our magic wand of script to really, bolster up on our efforts in the certification path. Because, it's been very GUI focused historically. If scripting and the automation wasn't a strong point, you might be able to, get by and all. So definitely, I agree with you, Brian. We will see an uptick in the competency requirement on the certification path. So, a number of things caught my eye. My notes are feverish. We're going to be provided some additional notes here to digest this all. But, people that are in this program and other people in the Microsoft community are going to be given access to early bits or early versions of Windows Server 8. What are you going to do with it, Brian? Are you going to install it, use it, start to get to know it and love it right away?
Oh, you know me.
Yeah. And, Brian, I asked you a question yesterday, and I couldn't believe the answer. Have you ever written a book?
Yeah.
go ahead. This show's more about the guests than it is me. So tell me a little bit about some of the books and your blogging activities.
Altogether, I've done about 50 books, not as the sole author. A lot of them have just been contributing a couple of chapters, but I've probably been the sole author on, maybe 6 or 7, something like that.
Wow. Get out. That's crazy. I don't have the patience for it, man.
An article is equal counting after 4,000. I have no idea how many I've done.
Wow. So that's pretty impressive. And what's your primary blog site?
There isn't one.
Okay. So I know there's a brianposey.com.
Yeah, and I used to have a bunch of articles out there, but I ended up taking them down after my ISP had a crash. It's a long story.
Gotcha.
But,
so, actually, I know you from Tech Republic blogging and Virtualization Review, and what else is out there? You got them all, man. Where are you?
Oh, Tech Target, Redmond Media, just all over the place.
Gotcha. Well, and speaking of media sites, we already talked about Julio and Tom's IT Pro, as well as Tom's Hardware. Julio, are you going to get hands-on with Server 8 and, cover it on the site or, work it in your contributor base? Or?
Definitely. I mean, we're looking at, reviewing hardware, and I think as the hardware comes in, probably not Server 8 immediately. Mm-hmm. I'll probably run it somewhere else, but as time goes on, we'll probably get our hands on some hardware that we'll have to use the Server 8 for.
And I got to send props out to Julio here, guys, because he's a technical guy. I've worked with a lot of different commercial websites, and, you've got the editors and you've got the, the technical people on the, it's a number of different arrangements, but I got to give props to Julio. He's a technical guy. So I definitely recommend checking out both Tom's Hardware and Tom's IT Pro, because he's bringing content and he can really oversee it end to end and have those technical conversations with his contributor base and as well as the content you put out yourself. So
hey, those are good sites.
Yeah. Thank you. Everybody knows about Tom. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
And Brian, who is Tom? Do you know? Do you know the story?
No, I don't.
You got to tune into the previous episode. Not going to spill the beans.
Oh, you're not going to do that to me.
Yeah, I'm going to do it. I got to get my hit count up, baby. Come on. Come on. It's all about the hits. Well, hey, we wanted to keep this one quick, guys. I'm going to transition to another segment of the podcast here in a second. But Julio, open mic. What do you think about Windows Server 8? Anything else that we haven't talked about?
I agree with Brian. I think it was very well thought out. I think you know, instead of like just pushing something out, they're taking their time with it. Some of the networking stuff they're sticking in there is pretty nice. You know, Hyper-V was great. The storage stuff, I still like that. The one thing I will say is it's funny, we're talking about core, is the whole idea going back to the command line.
Yeah.
That's kind of cool. I come from Linux background.
Yeah, so some people are loving it. I'm not feeling it.
Yeah.
Cool. Brian, open mic. Final thoughts on Windows Server 8?
I think it's really going to surprise a lot of people when Microsoft makes the announcements about everything that's coming out. Some great features, some stuff that's long overdue, and I was really glad to see that they are stepping up to the plate and making some drastically needed improvements.
Cool. All right. Well, Brian, you are a first-time guest on my podcast, so I do have the obligatory hot seat that I'm going to send your way. I'm going to ask you three questions, each referenced in different points of time. I'm going to start with the past, move over to the current, and then look into the future. So I'm going to start with your past. So Brian, what is a good technology experience or story that you can tell us about, either from your writing or a work experience or something in your past that, you know, people might find interesting?
Probably craziest technology-related experience. Like I said at the beginning, I used to work for a chain of hospitals and healthcare facilities, and I had an elderly mental patient at one of these facilities that stole a pair of scissors off of a medicine cart and tried to stab me.
Get out. Who said there wasn't hazards in IT?
Yeah.
How about right now? What do you have the most passion in technology-wise? You know, what has you the most interested in the overall technology space?
It changes on almost a daily basis, but for right now, I've got to say Windows Phone Mango.
Really? Yeah. You're loving the Mango phone.
Definitely.
I've seen this Mango phone thing, and you're feeling it. I don't know. I've got my Android love. I don't know. It saved my... I was tethered because they didn't provide us net access today because of the sensitivity of the material. I've been tethered both days and fully connected. My Android love is strong, but I do want to check out Windows Phone 7. How about into the future, Brian? What do you see coming down the pike technology-wise that would be most exciting to you as a technologist generally?
Well, you know, Windows Server 8 is the obvious answer, but as far as general technologies that I'm kind of keeping an eye on, the one thing that's really piqued my curiosity more than anything else is mobile virtualization, running multiple operating systems on a cell phone.
Yeah, I've long thought that at some point there's going to be a button that says morph to Android or morph to BlackBerry or dare I say morph to iPhone or whatever.
Yeah,
they might not allow it.
There are a couple of providers that are working on it. I actually wrote an article about it a couple months ago.
Which site?
I believe that was for Virtualization Review, but you know, it's late at night. It's been a long day. I can't remember for sure.
Gotcha. Understood. Content blur. Awesome. Well, hey, man, thanks for giving us the three views from you perspective. If anybody has any questions on the podcast, you can follow me on Twitter at Rick Vanover. Julio, on Twitter?
Tom's IT Pro Julio.
That's right. I'll put links in the podcast notes. And I'm going to give Brian crap because he is not on Twitter.
No way. Don't do Twitter.
Okay. So all this Twitter love you're missing out on. And if you have any questions on the podcast, you can get me at Rick Vanover or just tweet at Veeam, V-E-E-A-M. Or send an email to podcast@veeam.com. All right, Julio, thanks for being on the podcast.
Thank you very much.
Brian, thank you so much as well.
Hey, thanks for having me.